When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
Hello and welcome to Qatar for the Game Day World Cup podcast with me, Sam Mazaface, alongside Talk Sports football correspondent Alex Crook and European football expert, German worshipper, lover of everything Bundesliga, Kevin Hatchard. What a day to get him on. Every day when you wake up, you will have a little bite-sized delivery from the World Cup, bringing you a roundup of all the day's action and discussing all of the upcoming games. The top stories, a chaotic and brilliant night of World Cup football, beautifully put by the Times this morning. The ball stays in and the Germans go out. Will Hansi get the flick? A Mitoma night's dream as Japan beats Spain to win Group E. Martinez exits as Morocco madness means Belgium are out and Croatia sneak through. It's all on the Game Day World Cup podcast from TalkSport.
1, 2, 3, 4.
And there is the full-time whistle. And for the first time ever, Germany exit the World Cup at the group stage.
It's a German team that hasn't done well for quite some time. I mean, obviously, they crashed out of the World Cup in Russia.
The feeling in Germany is this is not a team that can achieve really something at the World Cup.
Oh, what a goal from Asano! And Japan have turned it around!
There's no enthusiasm about that World Cup.
I think when that cliche of Germany at a tournament is employed, I don't think it should be employed with this current group of German players.
We are not a team, that's the problem.
I'm empty. It's a feeling, it's the same exact feeling I had 4 years ago in Russia.
The full-time whistle is blown. Germany are out of the World Cup after one of the most thrilling, enthralling and captivating nights this competition has seen.
Germany, which they have won the World Cup 4 times, 2 times in a row from the group stage, that's history. That has never happened before.
Stop all the clops. They're out. Germany for a second World Cup in a row. I mean, Kevin, you couldn't have predicted it. And actually, I must admit, there was a point last night while I was sitting in the stadium watching Spain versus Japan, where I turned to the producer and went, you're not going to believe this, but Spain and Germany are out. And he goes, this is ridiculous. This is amazing. What a night of World Cup football. And then we stopped for a second and thought, hold on a second. Do we really want a World Cup last 16 without Spain and Germany? And the answer is probably no. It was a brilliant night, but this is a catastrophic exit for Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Sam. And it's born of that original game against Japan. And that kind of underlined the problems they've had at the tournament, which have been a lack of ruthlessness in front of goal. They've made chance after chance after chance in terms of the underlying data. They've been arguably the best attacking team in terms of creating chances and the whole tournament.
The largest XG in the tournament so far, is that right?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. I think from the numbers I saw, double that of England. But we've seen that England have been ruthless in front of goal and Germany simply haven't. And the other problem that we knew they had going into the tournament was the vulnerability in transition and the defensive problems. And that's been underlined as well. Crazy mistakes, wrong lineups. There's a lot of talk in Germany about whether it was the right decision to leave Mats Hummels at home. And now, obviously, that looks like a really bad decision. And, you know, I think in many other tournaments, they find a way through. They probably score a winner against Spain. Leroy Sané had a fantastic chance, which he didn't take. So there are big problems. But for me, it's not a root and branch review. It's not rip it all up and start again. I think some players will move on, but Manuel Neuer says he wants to stay. Thomas Müller was a bit more realistic maybe about how long he can go on for. But with a few tweaks here and there, I still think they can be competitive at this level.
It's a good advert for FIFA not messing around with the format of this competition, A, by introducing more teams and therefore less jeopardy in the group stage, and B, this nonsense idea to scrap draws and decide matches by penalties, because the reason this group was so tight yesterday was because of that draw between Spain and Germany on match day two. But you're right, it was incredible drama. I do think Kev's got a lot to answer for here, because 4 years ago, I distinctly remember him telling me that Timo Werner would win the Golden Boot, and I parted with my hard-earned cash. Germany went out in the group stage. This year, he tipped up Musiala for the Golden Boot. I mean, let's be honest, if he was still out there now, he still wouldn't have found the back of the net, Musiala. So I think Kev certainly can claim some responsibility for the German demise.
Right, so first thing is, I tipped up Musiala as a back to lay, as you well know, because he was 140-1. So he'd
for
only
a reason. He can't finish.
But he'd only need a couple of goals. He hit the post twice against Costa Rica. Look, he was tremendous, actually. All joking aside, he was actually by far their best player. Sensational in all of his games. But it's a strange one, because if you look at his performances for Bayern, he's banging them in left, right and centre. So just didn't find that finish. And against Japan, he did make himself a couple of big opportunities, and that would have made all the difference, because it was only that late collapse against Japan that ultimately got them behind the eight ball. I still think there were some decent performances in there, but there are big problems as well. I think Hansi Flick goes into this tournament as a guy with a really big reputation, and rightly so, for everything he did at Bayern, but he has big questions to answer. He didn't take Hummels. That didn't work out. He made some really strange decisions at right back. Playing Kimmich there, I think the idea was to have a stream of crosses against Costa Rica, but you miss him when he's not in midfield. You look at the defenders individually and they're decent, but they've never found the right combination. I don't think Rudiger had a great tournament, to be honest. And then you look at some of his decisions in midfield. He took off Goretzka against Costa Rica. Well, I understood that because he had an injury. But Gundogan went off as well. Suddenly they had no shape, no structure whatsoever. And you go back to the game against Japan and Goretzka didn't start. And I think they suffered as a result of that. So big problems, but I still think Hansi Flick's the right man to take them forward.
Yeah, I think there was a few scratchings of heads once we saw the team sheet and realised that Füllkrug wasn't playing. Müller was playing as the focal point, and Kimmich had been moved out to right back, and everyone was like, well, in a second. Klosterman played quite well in the game against Spain. Why on earth would you make that decision? It was a decision that ultimately backfired on Hansi Flick and Germany, even though they won the game by 4-2. There was too much jeopardy in that game. And if you're a top team that's going to go on and challenge for a tournament, you know, you can't be conceding 2 to Costa Rica. Costa Rica actually a little bit unlucky. They weren't a very good team at all, but caused problems for Japan. Obviously beat them in the previous game, and caused problems for Germany by just throwing everything at it. They're a little bit chaotic themselves, but actually, you know, at least they had a drive to go on and try and test a big European team, despite maybe not having a huge deal of quality. Japan 2, Spain 1 was the full-time score. I've got to talk about the Japanese coach who, when I was in, I think, the same stadium, the Khalifa Stadium for the Japan-Germany game, changed it at halftime with a series of substitutions, had an immediate effect. Mitoma coming on as a left wing back. He'd done exactly the same again, brought on Duan as well. Pushed him higher up and committed more men forward. They changed the shape at halftime. It was a flat back five in that first half. And then when Mitoma came on at the start of the second half, he went a lot higher and wider. They went the same with Ito on the other side. And all of a sudden, they just had much more attacking threat, especially on the counter. And I think he's got something, that coach. I really do. I think he's been incredibly impressive throughout the course of the tournament. They had a wobble with the team selection against Costa Rica and that actually backfired. But I thought the two games against the big nations, he's done brilliantly in.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it was history repeating, wasn't it? With the way that the games panned out. And they caught Spain cold, much in the way they caught Germany cold in the second half in the first game. Obviously, there's been a huge amount of debate about, was the ball in or was it out? I think there's a picture that you flagged up, Sam, on the front page of this morning's Times that shows it was just about in. But credit to Mitoma, one of those players who came on in the second half, because most players would have given up on that ball and accepted it was going behind for a goal kick. He didn't do that. He stretches every sinew to get there, still has the mindset to hook it back into a dangerous area. And in the end, it's bundled in from point blank range. But I think Japan have been well worthy of not only going through, but of topping the group. I think they've got a fearlessness about them. They play exciting football. They play front foot football. They've got bags of pace. So credit to them. And the emotional scenes at the end of the game, all the players spilling onto the pitch. Fans were in tears, actually, when they equalised, let alone when they got the winner. And then they were cleaning up the stadium at full time. So they've been a brilliant advert for this World Cup.
From the 80th to the 83rd minute of Costa Rica's match against Germany at the Albert Stadium, it meant that Spain were going out of the tournament. It's a good job that nobody told Luis Enrique, who said afterwards, if I'd have known, I would have had a heart attack. Was it odd that they didn't have a connection to the game and didn't understand what was happening elsewhere, Kevin, do you think?
Really strange. And a lack of professionalism also. You need to be across that at all moments, because it does affect how things go. I mean, if they'd have suddenly needed to show more intensity, I mean, it didn't seem to me. I know they made I was mainly concentrating on the Germany game for obvious reasons, but there was one late chance for Spain, wasn't there? But they didn't create a huge amount in the closing stages of that game. And I think they come out of the group stage with big questions, I think. I worry about
wounded
the goalkeeper.
Slightly, I would say.
I think so. Yes, they hammered Costa Rica, but that was a very curious, strange Costa Rica performance. I didn't think Spain were great against Germany, and I think Germany could have legitimately won that game. And obviously, they've lost to Japan. And you look at the back line, you look at Unai Simón in goal, and I think there are alarm bells. I think Unai Simón makes mistakes. I think he maybe, you know, with the ball at his feet, is careless sometimes. So it's a difficult one with him, because he gets asked to make a lot of risky passes, and that's what Luis Enrique wants to do to draw teams on and beat the press. That's fine. But on top of that, there are careless moments when he plays passes he doesn't need to play or just gets it wrong. So I do think going forward against a really, really good side, they could get punished with that.
Well, if you go back to the Croatia game from 2021, when they played, he caused a massive error, which led to what was a very chaotic evening or afternoon in which they had to drag themselves back from the brink. I do a lot of Spanish football, and he always gives you a chance. Whenever he's playing for Athletic Bilbao, he always gives you a chance in a game. And he did that several times last night. And he's not particularly brilliant with his feet. He's competent with his feet, but he allows a player to come right on top of him before he releases the ball. And that sometimes causes serious issues because he gives it away. And he's not particularly good with his hands. I mean, a shot from Duan was all right. I mean, it was a cracker who thumped it, but it's gone through his hands.
Yeah,
it wasn't great goalkeeping. So I think that's going to be something that I think Luis Enrique Martinez ends up being asked about quite a lot later on in the tournament if they go out, because he's left David De Gea at home. And whether or not you think, we all know David De Gea's best skills are not with his feet, the truth is that he is a very good shot stopper, and their other goalkeepers are David Raya and Robert Sanchez, playing for Brighton and Brentford. With all due respect, you know, surely there's a goalkeeper somewhere at the top of Spanish football, or the top of the Premier League, or top of any top five league that is actually playing just slightly better than one of those three. Canada 1, Morocco 2. What a story this is. Morocco reached the knockout stages by topping Group F. It's the first time they've qualified for the last 16 in 36 years, Group.
Yeah, it's a coupon buster, isn't it? If you were picking out the eight winners of the groups at the start of the tournament, not too many of us would have had Morocco top, probably even less would have had Japan on top. Let me just send away room service. I'm okay in a minute, thank you.
Oh, make sure that... Have they got to refill your coffee machine? Do you want them to come and fluff up your pillow?
Can you come back in half an hour? Thank you. I do need more coffee.
Make it 45 minutes.
Even fewer would have had Japan to top their group. So there'll be a few people that will be disappointed this morning. Morocco, I think, worthy of their win. Canada are a weird side, aren't they? I think they've brought quite a lot to this World Cup without winning a game. Obviously, they've scored a goal at the tournament for the first time. But their tactical awareness, their in-game management is non-existent because they just pile bodies forward and hope for the best. I think Morocco use that to their advantage. Hakim Ziyech is quietly having a decent tournament, a different player than we see at Chelsea. And I think there'll be a handful, actually, in the round of 16 for Spain. I think they've got a little bit about them.
Our producer, Lucy, put on our running order this morning. Pathetic. Canada exit the tournament suffering three successive defeats and not registering a single point. Maybe a little bit harsh on the fact they haven't been to the World Cup since 1986. But they are, as is suggested, easy to play against. They must be easy to play against because talking of coupon busters, Hakim Ziyech has been pretty impressive for Morocco, and that was some goal.
It was tremendous. I mean, it's a dreadful goalkeeping error, but to have the technique to be able to nail that, you know, lifted over the goalkeeper in the way that he did was superb. And we're seeing more of the Ziyech that helped Ajax get to the semi-finals of the Champions League back in 2019. He is a quality player. And I think what we're seeing is that decision to get rid of Halihodžić, the coach, and replace him with Regragui has been a really good decision because they look a more harmonious unit. They've brought in players that had fallen out with Halihodžić before. And I do think it's a team with momentum. And I think it's a team that's solid. They've got a great goalkeeper. And I think they'll just let Spain have the ball and say, OK, you have the ball. You see if you can break us down. And we've got quality on the counter. We've got speed on the counter. And we've shown as well at set plays we can do damage. So I don't think this is going to necessarily be that easy for Spain.
Croatia 0, Belgium 0. Blubbering Belgium head home, ranked second in the world. But are finishing a disappointing third in the group. I mean, you can't blame it all on Romelu Lukaku, but how many opportunities did he have to win that game, Alex?
Well, the only time he managed to hit the target was when he punched the dugout on his way off. I mean, it's inexplainable, really, that he managed to miss so many golden opportunities. And as a result, the so-called golden generation, or I'm not sure they were that golden in the first place, go home. Roberto Martinez is looking for a new job, and Belgium are looking for a new coach. I don't think we're that shocked. Credit to you, Sam. You picked out Belgium in the pre-match podcast, the pre-tournament podcast, as a team that could struggle and could flop. And you've been proved absolutely right. And it's a massive rebuild job now, isn't it, for whoever comes in to replace Martinez.
Yeah, what happens to Martinez next? Because he's been in charge of the Belgium side since 2016. He's the sort of technical director there as well, isn't he? And yeah, they finished third in 2018 at the World Cup, but never really lived up to their potential, Kevin.
Yeah, but I think Crook's right. I think we overestimate the value of this golden generation thing. I think the job he did, if you look at it in its entirety, was absolutely fine. He took over from a team that had just been embarrassed by Wales in Euro 2016. Mark Vilmots went. Martinez came in. Got to a semi-final of a World Cup, beat Brazil at a World Cup, went out to the eventual winners. In the Euros, they went out to the eventual winners when they were beaten by Italy. So yes, fine margins. They've gone out of tournaments, but he's qualified for every tournament. That's not always a given. Italy will tell you that. And I just think even a team with Pik de Bruyne, Pik Hazard, Pik Courtois, Pik Lukaku, was that squad ever the best in Europe? No. Was it ever the best in the world? And I think the answer is no. I think it's a squad that could have been competitive at that level, but had no divine right to win anything. And the other thing I think you could say about him was that he failed to refresh the squad. He failed to move away from the players that had served him so well earlier. And I think that's really been the problem this time around, especially defensively, where they've looked all over the place.
We were having quite a heated debate about this over a beer after the game, after the late games. And I said to Adrian Durham, if you compare this so-called golden generation to England's golden generation, how many of the Belgian players get into the England team? I reckon three. Courtois, De Bruyne and Hazard. So I think Kev's absolutely right. I think to get them to a World Cup semi-final actually is a fairly big achievement for Roberto Martinez. Adrian completely disagreed. And actually, it was Kev's tweet last night that prompted the debate. He thought Kev was talking nonsense.
Well, I think I actually think that with a core of a team like that, enough can be done to build around them to make them a little bit more entertaining, more competitive. I think whenever they seem to have played a big game, they've had an inferiority complex. I remember speaking to Roberto Martinez the day after the semi-final against France, and it was very sort of like, oh, well, look, we tried our best. And I feel like, no, you've got very, very good players. You had a really good chance in the game to go in and win that match. In fact, weren't they leading in that game at one stage in the semi-final of the last World Cup? I think Lukaku scored and then France scored twice. I don't know if that's true or not. I can't remember. But even though it was a very tight game, I thought, no, you should be absolutely gutted and disappointed about this. Maybe he is and he's just very good at hiding it. But I just thought, I don't know, I thought there was always something a little bit more to come from Belgium. They never really quite lived up to their potential for me. I think they were unlucky in certain times as well because key players got injured just before big tournaments, which robbed them of De Bruyne's at his best during the Euros, for example, last year, even though he sort of tried to continue. Lukaku obviously has just gone out of form at the wrong time on this occasion, so couldn't play in the first couple of group games with any real impact. But yeah, I think there'll be people back in Belgium who think that Roberto Martinez is flattered to deceive. I don't think it helps with the way that he comes out and tells everybody how wonderful his team have played and have been, and then they don't deliver. Sometimes I feel like he's living in a different land to everybody else. Right, let's move on to today's games. Big games for Serbia and Switzerland, Ghana and Uruguay, and I'll be off to Brazil versus Cameroon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
It is Sabumaka. He's going to square it. Big chance. Jumper Moulting. 3-3.
On the outside, swinging the cross, Richarlison overhead kick! What a goal! One of the greatest in World Cup history!
Of course, we are going to win the World Cup! Vini Junior!
Catch for the shot! It's 2-1! Sergej Milinkovic-Savic curls it in from the edge of the area!
Well, if anyone was in any doubt whatsoever of what sort of side this Serbian team are, they are a tough outfit. They're very, very well organised.
Shaqiri gets it across the face of Colin Bolo for Switzerland.
Of course, it's a dream, for sure. I mean, we have not the quality, maybe, player by player, like Brazil, for example, or England as well. But like a team, we are very strong.
So as expected, Brazil have already booked their place in the round of 16, but things a little bit more hanging in the balance for their opponents, Cameroon. I think we should talk a little bit about the goalkeeping situation here, Kevin, because Andre Onana has gone home, having been sent back for disciplinary reasons. He fell out with Rigobert Song. Now, the story behind it is that in the game against, I think it was Switzerland earlier in the tournament, he started to play like he was a sweeper. He would bring the ball out almost to the edge of the centre circle and then try and become sort of a playmaker. Obviously, he played at Barcelona, so he thinks he's pretty good with his feet. He played at Ajax, pretty good with his feet, and he's been able to do that there. But Rigobert Song has said, no, look, we don't really want you to do that, fella. Is there any chance that you could be a little bit safer? He said no. They had a full-blown row. Rigobert Song said, if you don't like it, you can pack your bags. He said, okay, then. There was also other stuff about you should play him and not him. And Onana had quite a vocal opinion about who should be in the team. But it's a bit of a meltdown to have, isn't it, after just one game? And it's got to be some big row if Onana decides that he'd rather go back to Yaounde than play in a World Cup against Brazil.
Yeah, and it, especially when you bear in mind that Onana's making up for lost time because he had all of that time out after the doping ban that he picked up in very unfortunate circumstances, but they're the rules. And so that's why he had to stay on the sidelines for as long as he did. And Cameroon have been here before. They've had bust-ups before. They've had off-field drama before. And it's a real shame. I do think Rigobert Song, much as I liked him as a Liverpool fan, I think his coaching has left a lot to be desired, quite frankly. I think that it seems to me that Cameroon are kind of operating on vibes a lot of the time, and they've got amazing players going forwards, but I don't know how much structure is there. I think defensively there have been real problems. But Aboubakar was brilliant in the last game against Serbia. They have managed to get good performances out of Choupo-Moting, who went into the tournament on good form. But you fear for them against Brazil. They're capable of scoring goals and making chances, although Brazil have been outstanding defensively so far. It's going to be a much rotated Brazilian team. So I think this one could be fun, but I can't see Cameroon getting what they need.
Yeah, Rigobert Song actually had some health issues, didn't he, a couple of years ago. And there was sort of concerns about him in the build-up to the tournament because he was reading out a list of players who had made the cut. And there's a video that sort of where he's sort of looking at the paper and he's struggling to read the names of his own players, which was a little bit concerning, I think, for a lot of people. And, you know, we do hope that there's nothing more in that other than, you know, he's just, you know, they're difficult names to read. But Brazil are going to start with Dani Alves as the right back and captain tonight at 39 years of age, the oldest captain, the oldest Brazil player to ever play at a World Cup. Do you sort of look around the rest of the tournament at some of the aging players that may have played for some nations a little closer to home, whose limbs aren't really up to it at 32 and 33, and then think, wow, Dani Alves, that's how you run your body?
Yeah, same with Pepe, who we're going to see in action for Portugal in the game that I'm commentating against South Korea, because I thought he was absolutely excellent a couple of months shy of his 40th birthday when he came in against Uruguay. So you're right there. There are certain golden oldies in this tournament that are putting other golden oldies to shame. But in terms of the game itself, I agree with Kev. I think even though they're going to be rotated, I think Brazil will have too much. I think they'll keep another clean sheet and I think they'll go through as group winners with a 100% record. And no other team in this tournament have won all three games yet. So I think that tells you that whoever is going to lift the trophy is probably going to have to take out Brazil somewhere along the way.
Yep. Serbia must win to have any chance of qualifying. Switzerland will qualify if they do win. A draw is enough for them if Cameroon don't beat Brazil, which seems unlikely. But Serbia coach Dragan Stojkovic, when asked if they were facing a side with the precision of Swiss watches, said, "We'd really like to talk about their cheese and find out their weak spots, the holes, to get a result."
Great answer. Is that the best answer at a press conference so far?
No, possibly. Come on, Lewis, and a press conference, he was on Twitch talking about the sex lives of his squad, and yeah. Louis van Gaal has been particularly entertaining so far. So yeah, it's in the top three, I think. It's in the top three. Ghana, Uruguay, which kicks off a little bit earlier. Diego Alonso switched to back five from the defeat against Portugal. Will he revert to a more attacking formation? Because they need to beat Ghana, don't they, if they're going to go through in second place here, Kevin?
Yeah, it's been a really curious one, I think, from Uruguay, because I think we've, again, like Germany, really, you know, so many nearly moments. You know, they've hit the frame of the goal. Valverde had that rocket that hit the woodwork against South Korea. They have been disappointing in some ways, but I thought they played quite well against Portugal, made some chances. Bentancur had that opportunity at 0-0 that maybe he should have made more of. I think they've been okay and they're in position to qualify. I think the one thing they've got to do is find a way of stopping Mohamed Kudus, who I think has been tremendous in this tournament so far. When he gets between the lines, he can do real damage. He's playing further forward now than he was right at the start of the tournament. And Ghana do have that attacking quality. So I think Uruguay won't come out all guns blazing, I don't think. I think they'll look to contain Ghana to start with and then hope to make a push later in the game. They have the quality to do that. You need to get Darwin Nunez in areas where he can do damage. I don't think they've done that enough because he is a wrecking ball. But you need to get him into positions where he can do that damage. So I think this is an absolutely fascinating game. I love the fact that Luis Suarez was referred to by the Ghanaian reporter as the devil. Yeah. Before the question. But I think he relishes that, Suarez. I think he relishes the whole pantomime villain thing. I think he just doesn't care what people think. And I'll be fascinated to see if he starts, because that could really rile Ghana up and in a way completely unbalance them.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you do wonder what he's going to do next. In 2010, he had the handball. 2014, he sunk his teeth into Giorgio Chiellini. Then it's not a World Cup without a Luis Suarez story, is it? So we'll see how he leaves his mark on this at the age of 35. Ghana against Uruguay, one of two games this afternoon at 3 o'clock. South Korea against Portugal. South Korea basically can qualify if they win and the other result goes their way. Portugal, they're through. They've still got a chance of dropping into second in the group, but it seems unlikely. Portugal left-back Nuno Mendes has been ruled out due to that thigh injury that he sustained during the Uruguay match. He had to come off during that game. It's a bit of a shame, really, because he's quite a lively young player and one for the future. But South Korea, have you been a little bit disappointed with them, Crook?
Yeah, I think I have, to be honest, particularly in the game against a poor Uruguay side. I think both of those nations have probably underachieved, and I actually expect Ghana to come through. I think they'll beat Uruguay, and therefore they'll take second place in the group. Portugal expected to make changes. You mentioned the enforced one, and it's a real shame because I think he played well in their second game. But Guerrero's a pretty capable replacement, in all honesty. Does Ronaldo start? I think he'll want to because he has another opportunity to equal Eusebio's goal-scoring record at World Cups of 9. Eusebio got all 9 in his only World Cup, by the way, in 1966. And all 8 of Ronaldo's goals have come in the group stage. So a couple of quite interesting stats for you. But there is a reason for Portugal to want to get the job done, get the point they need to win the group, because they won't really want to play Brazil in the round of 16.
No, they certainly won't. And team selection is very important to Fernando Santos. And Pepe was articulating that in another brilliant press conference move. He said, the coach has been talking to us about salad. You have to have all the right ingredients. You cannot have all the tomatoes on one side and all the onions on the other. That wouldn't work. To prepare the best salad, you have to mix all the right ingredients together.
How inspirational. Yeah,
honestly, he's bang on. I adopt exactly the same approach. All the tomatoes are left on the buffet plate and all the chips are on my plate.
Explains a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you wonder why you don't ever get out of the group stage. right. Okay. We will be back with you tomorrow with Scott Minto, Alex and I, talking a little bit about what happened with Brazil, but also, I think, probably focusing quite heavily on what is going to happen in the first knockout games, because it's a very quick turnaround. Friday night, all the group games will finish. Saturday, we're into the last 16. It's a strange scenario. Usually there's at least a day's gap between the last group matches and the start of the last 16, but different here in Doha. And England play on Sunday night against Senegal. We've got some other cracking games, including the Netherlands against the USA, which I think is going to be a really good match. And still the prospect of Portugal or Ghana or Uruguay against Brazil. And whatever one of those ends up being the fixture, that will be a corker as well. But as we've said, I think previous on this podcast, the way it's shaping up right now, the last 8 is going to be incredibly heavyweight. Anyway, Kev, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Alex, thank you very much for your time.
No problem, Kev. Cheers for hitting the target, unlike Musiala.
Musiala is the top scorer in the Bundesliga with 12 goals this season. He's 19 years of age. Give the guy a break, you absolutely ruthless human individual. is there any chance that you could go into the light today? Or why is it that you're living in a velvet prison there? Every time we see you now, you're in the darkness. Why is that? Is there something wrong with opening your curtains?
Yeah, I could try that, actually. Maybe I might do that as a treat for you tomorrow morning. You see the highway that we're overlooking here in the luxurious TalkSport team hotel.
We don't really care about the highway. We just want to be able to see you when you're talking. The whole point of you being on a Zoom call is so we can see your face.
It's like doing a podcast with somebody in witness protection. It's really strange. It
yeah. You've never said you want to see my face before, Sam. So, listen, we've been here 17 days and obviously your affection for me is growing, so I appreciate that.
See you tomorrow.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.